Computer. So welcome, Peter. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us today about the circular economy. I'm really looking forward to listening to your talk.
Great. Thank you, Carrie. As Carrie said, we met a few years ago. I think it was November 2018, Carrie. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we were both speaking at a waste conference in Brighton. And I remember it distinctly because this was the first time I'd seen the presentation from the Climate Reality Leader training. And it, for me, it was an interesting event because there were quite a few people in the room, not as many as we expected, but something like 80% of them were female. And I was the only male speaker out of eight, I think. So I think that for me highlighted just the extent to which there is a very strong presence in climate matters from a circular or from a climate point of view. So that was an interesting event because at the time, Clary, we went back on the train with Carrie. She was carrying her metal jacket on her mannequin, which was caused some amusement on the train. But Carrie at that point introduced Chris and I to Al Gore's training, Climate Reality Leader training. So that's what we did in the beginning of March 2019, I think. Welcome everybody, and to this particular talk on the circular economy. And I just wanted to give credit to Morag for the blog that she wrote, which introduced this, which started to highlight just how the Treasury in the UK is now thinking about how we measure well-being and success. And I'll refer to that back a little bit later and about whether GDP is the right measurement and growth, ongoing increasing growth. But first we're going to have a poll. I think, Carrie, are we able to do the poll? Can you do that over my presentation or do I?
No, it's all right. Okay, sorry, hold on. I think I can just, can anyone see that or not?
Say again?
Can everybody see the poll now or not?
No.
No, you'll have to stop sharing.
Okay, hold on a second.
There we go. So can you see now? Hold on, just 1 second. Whoops.
Yeah.
Yes, can there see the poll.
So there are two questions and pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Multiple choice, I'm afraid.
There we go. You think you're there?
Getting there. 28, 29, 30. Okay. Still get some, a couple more in. Okay. Well, there's probably one not doing it, and that's probably me. So should we end the polling and share the results? So what does this say? Have you heard of the circular economy? Yes, 80% of people have. So that's good news that the term is getting around. And 95% think it's a new economic system which will help mitigate climate breakdown. So yes, that's the messages that I'll be giving today. So thank you for completing the poll. Okay, so we'll close that and I will start sharing again. Okay. So there's a little adjustment I have to do on a regular basis, but I'll try and get rid of the black bar that seems to appear every so often. So just as a quick introduction, how did I get into the circular economy? And it goes back almost 6 years now when I did a master's at Sussex University at the Institute of Development Studies. And my dissertation was on circular economy, recycling mobile phones in South Africa and the challenges related thereto. So that was really my introduction to the circular economy. And I then in 2018 did a summer school at the University of Amsterdam on the circular city towards a sustainable urban ecosystem. And now, what I'm currently occupied in, well, virtually full time, is running a network in Africa called the African Circular Economy Network. So this is in the space of 6 years, you know, this whole idea of circular economy has gained a lot of traction around the world. So we know, hang on a second. I'm sure most of you will recognize this image, the blue marble taken during the last Apollo mission, moon. And this is something that we see a lot when we were training with Al Gore. This was an image that that kept cropping up. And we felt that, for me, this actually really shows what we have, and that's a beautiful planet, and we need to take care of it. The follow-on from the climate reality training was very much action-focused, which is when we came back, and actually the same year, shortly after we came back, we really got Fair World Linfield going, which was a climate action group here in Linfield, near Hayward's Heath. And as we were talking about a little bit earlier, we've had a monthly climate cafe inspired by Carrie and Horsham and Strategic Green Living. And the last one we had was on making your money matter. And we talked about how we can take action by looking at our banking. And maybe Triodos is something people might look at. So the reason we went to there's Chris and me in Atlanta doing the classic pose. The one thing I did learn at Atlanta, by the way, in terms of anybody thinking that isn't that a rather long way to go to be trained on climate action, aren't there quite a lot of carbon miles attached to that? And yes, that is true. We have a son in New York, and we visit. One thing I did learn in Atlanta was about Project Drawdown. And this, for me, started to really get me thinking about two things. One, let's look at solutions, and let's see how the circular economy can get in into that as well. How are the two related? And I was fortunate to be one of the few people to get this particular wall chart. There aren't many left these days, which give all 100 of these solutions to reverse global warming. Global warming, as it turns out, there. We now call it climate breakdown and climate crisis, ecological crisis. And so these 100 solutions, 80 of which actually already exist. And quite a few of these I realized were not unrelated to the circular economy. For example, regenerative agricultural practices. And we, in the Climate Cafe, we ran a film called Kiss the Ground, which is available on Netflix, which talks about some of the examples that are shown here. And we also last year showed a film called 2040, which is an Australian film, which talks about renewable energy, regenerative agriculture, empowerment of women and girls, and the use of seaweed and marine permaculture, and also about donut economics. And I'll come back to that a little bit later about how that relates to the circular economy. But just going back to climate for a moment, I've been hugely impressed by what the Met Office does in terms of graphics. So the one challenge we were faced with in Atlanta, being trained by Al Gore, was that their focus was very much on America and very much on the problem. And here we have some examples of just what's happening in the UK. So this was the Met Office's State of the UK Climate in 2018. And I didn't realise just how many named storms that were battering the UK in 2018. So there were 10 of them that actually got names. I think Desmond was one of them actually at some point. And in 2019, another graphic, one which really, and actually I think I can maybe do something. I'm not sure I can do that, no. Is actually on this bar chart, this that shows the heat image. So of the last of the top 10 warmest years for the UK have occurred since 2002. Now, all these this information we already are aware of. So for me, it's important to let people know about the problem and then to move on to the solutions. And we're not alone in this, because the United Nations in 2015 set up the Sustainable Development Goals, 17 goals in 2015 to be achieved by 2030. So we're now in 2021. We've got 9 years to achieve these. And these are, as you know, I'm sure, universal call to action to end poverty, protect the planet, and ensure that all people enjoy peace and prosperity. And so the this year, in November, in COP26 in Glasgow, these nations who made commitments in 2015 will be supplying their national determined contributions, the NDCs, which have been updated. And the challenges are that when you add up all the commitments, they still keep us way above the 1.5 degrees, let alone the 2 degrees level that we should be aiming at. And intriguingly, the circular economy has started a feature in these NDCs. So Chile has developed a circular economy roadmap from 2020 to 2040, structured on four main pillars: retaining raw materials, production, waste management, consumption and services. So the circular economy is starting to be built into the achievement of these SDGs. So what is the circular economy? And I just want to show you a short video, which has been developed by the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. It's a cartoon video for 3 minutes or so, and gives some very good, easy to understand examples of what the circular economy is about. So let me start this video, and let me know if you can't hear the sound, Carrie.
Living systems have been around for a few billion years, and will be around for many more. In the living world, there's no landfill. Instead, materials flow. One species' waste is another's food, energy is provided by the sun, things grow, then die, and nutrients return to the soil safely. And it works. Yet as humans, we've adopted a linear approach. We take, we make, and we dispose. A new phone comes out, so we ditch the old one. Our washing machine packs up, so we buy another. Each time we do this, we're eating into a finite supply of resources and often producing toxic waste. It simply can't work long term. So what can? If we accept that the living world's cyclical model works, can we change our way of thinking so that we too operate a circular economy? Let's start with the biological cycle. How can our waste build capital rather than reduce it? By rethinking and redesigning products and components, and the packaging they come in, we can create safe and compostable materials that help grow more stuff. As they say in the movies, no resources have been lost in the making of this material. So what about the washing machines, mobile phones, fridges? We know they don't biodegrade. Here, we're talking about another sort of rethink, a way to cycle valuable metals, polymers, and alloys so they maintain their quality and continue to be useful beyond the shelf life of individual products. What if the goods of today became the resources of tomorrow? It makes commercial sense. Instead of the throw-away and replace culture we've become used to, we'd adopt a return and renew one, where products and components are designed to be disassembled and regenerated. One solution may be to rethink the way we view ownership. What if we never actually owned our technologies? We simply licensed them from the manufacturers. Now, let's put these two cycles together. Imagine if we could design products to come back to their makers, their technical materials being reused and their biological parts increasing agricultural value. And imagine that these products are made and transported using renewable energy. Here we have a model that builds prosperity long term. And the good news is, there are already companies out there who are beginning to adopt this way of working. But the circular economy isn't about one manufacturer changing one product. It's about all the interconnecting companies that form our infrastructure and economy coming together. It's about energy. It's about rethinking the operating system itself. We have a fantastic opportunity to open new perspectives and new horizons. Instead of remaining trapped in the frustrations of the present, with creativity and innovation, we really can rethink and redesign our future.
I'll come back to the Ellen MacArthur Foundation in a moment. In summary, we are moving from this linear economy where we're throwing away an awful lot towards a recycling economy, which I know that many of you are involved with, where there still is some waste, towards a circular economy where we're trying to design out waste in the first place. But it's not just about waste. I work with a lady called Catherine Wheatman, who has written a book on this. So in terms of if people are looking for a book, not a cheap book, about this very subject, then she still writes the best books on this subject. So moving away from this take, make, use, dispose, and then throw away, pollute type economy towards a more circular one, where we're actually reusing and remaking. Origins of the circular economy are many, and I think people imagine that this is a new idea. Well, the concept is new in a term, but it brings together an awful lot of thinking, research, practice that has been taking place over decades. So things like biomimicry, using nature as a model, like the blue economy, and I think some people on this call have great experience of the blue economy. In the video mention was made about the performance economy, using a product as a service, not actually the ownership retained with the manufacturer rather than the user. And things like the cradle to cradle initiative, which is decades old, where the idea about industrial symbiosis and industrial ecology, where one person's waste equals somebody else's food. So what, in summary, is the circular economy? The Ellen MacArthur Foundation lays out three principles: designing out waste and pollution, keeping products and materials in use, and regenerating natural systems. And you may have heard of the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, and you may have heard of Ellen MacArthur. It's based on the Isle of Wight, and the reason is that is because Ellen MacArthur was a successful solo long-distance yachtswoman. And in 2005, she broke the world record for the fastest solo circumnavigation of the globe. She had to take everything with her on the trip that she needed, because there was no place to stop off. And she realized that that was an image for the planet, that we have everything that we need on the planet, and we should be looking after it and taking care of it and reusing it wherever we possibly can. The circular economy centers around the more efficient use of resources, which have a positive effect on the environment, as fewer new materials such as plastics and metals are required, greenhouse gas emissions are reduced, biodiversity loss decreases, or because there is less pollution of soil, air and water caused by litter and excess nutrients. What is circular economy? What is it not? Well, it's not extreme recycling, as we had in the poll. It's more than just a sophisticated approach to waste management. That said, in terms of rubbish collection, 2 billion people around the world don't have a regular rubbish collection, and plastic pollution is a major land and marine problem, particularly in developing countries. So it is about waste management, but it goes beyond that. a great image that the National Geographic has produced, and I really like this because it's simple. It's actually aimed at children, and I think it gives a very good summary of where we're looking at from a circular economy point of view. So not much these days is still discussed about design. So we should be designing our products so they last longer and every element of them can be recycled. And we have many thoughts about what supermarkets should be doing, about food production, what we should be doing in terms of packaging, because not all the packaging can actually be reused or recycled. And we should be designing things so that they actually can be recycled and reused and in a more eco-friendly way. So plastic water bottles, in terms of the trend that's now happening, where some of the large plastic producers for soft drinks, water bottles, Coca-Cola and similar, are using more recycled material when they make the bottle, but they've still got some way to go. And when we use products, we should be using them for much longer and the materials within them, not just throwing them away when we finish. When I was doing my research in 2015 in South Africa, I actually met somebody who worked for a government body who actually told me he threw away in the rubbish bin, the black bin, his mobile phone when he finished with it. I just couldn't believe that he did that. I've never come across anybody who did it, but there was somebody who did do that. And what we're aiming to do is keep things in use as long as possible. And then when the product life is over, let's try and create new products from the old ones. So that's a very simple way. And this again is summarized in something that you will have seen before, the waste hierarchy. This expands that waste hierarchy into these 10 R's. And we're seeing these more and more now being, and less, I think people are actually getting a grip of the refuse. So maybe not buying so many clothes, fast fashion, that's a very topical subject that both Horsham and Linfield have had cafes on. And so to focus more on the higher order of priority when we come to these matters. Pete Seeger, the singer, once said, if it can't be reduced, reused, repaired, rebuilt, refurbished, refinished, resold, recycled or composted, then it should be restricted, redesigned or removed from production. So this really can be applied wherever you are. Now, I've got some examples. I'm now going to move into sort of the, how does it actually work in practice? So these are the theories. How does it work in practice? So not surprisingly, an image, a case study that I have, an example I've got here, is based around my dissertation. So I imagine that people here, I used to ask the question, I can't see people's hands, so I can't ask you the question. Most people will have a mobile phone, most people will have a smartphone, and actually most people have probably got more than one, because like me, you might be using one, but you've probably got a few hidden in your drawers where you're keeping things like this and this and this and these. And I'm actually only really using one. So this is a resource. It's inside these phones are the very metals and minerals that have been used to make them. And there is such great scope for mining these resources from people's desk drawers. Now, part of the problem has been free upgrades, because what's happened is that after 2 years, you're offered a free upgrade. I, in the past, have never been invited to send mine back. Now, there are take-back schemes. There's a lot more of reuse, because within the new phone, there's a lot of materials, expensive materials, and a second-hand phone, the value of it is really quite... parts in the broken phone are worth nearly one third of the original value of the device. So there's a lot more that can be done if you recycle that. I think there's someone with a microphone still on. But there are solutions. Now, one of the solutions is to design so that it actually can be it can be modular, it can be repaired, and the components recycled. And an example of that is a Fairphone. So my phone here is a Fairphone. I've had it for, I think, 4 years, had a couple of elements of it, and I can do it myself. I can take the back off, I can replace the battery and other component parts. And we're now up to the Fairphone 3. So the, and you can get cooperative mobile do the Fairphone. So the alternative, which Apple have done, this is Daisy on the bottom left corner there. She's a robot that takes apart iPhones, and they take out the materials that are included in the phone and reuse them. So from a point of view of business, this is how businesses are now using the models of circularity. There's a lot of detail to go into, and I'm very conscious of time, so I'm trying to keep an eye on the time. And I'll show you some examples of large businesses that are using these business models rather than go through the theory of it. This here is an example, actually, of recycling, because I'm recycling somebody's slides. This is a Recycling Council of Ontario that have put together these five models in a very coherent way. And as an aside, I've said to Carrie that I can send a PDF version of these slides so that you can refer back to them at your leisure. She'll make them available afterwards. Those are some examples of business models. Another book called Waste of Wealth, which was written a few years ago, had five different business models, slightly different to similar to the one before. But just a couple of examples of how circularity has been used with large businesses, because really that's where things have very often started, at the same time as some startup companies, disruptive entrepreneurs, have actually started to introduce circularity into their thinking as well. Examples are Caterpillar here. They have been remanufacturing their heavy duty machinery, mining and such like, for many years, and actually their remanufacturing division is one of their most profitable. Also seeing Philips. Now, they provide the lighting at Schiphol Airport in the Netherlands, and they don't provide lamps, they actually provide light. So they retain the ownership of all the lamps and all the lighting, and when it goes wrong, they repair them and then replace. And so the airport is actually buying light, not light bulbs. IKEA and John Lewis are now renting their furniture. You don't just have to buy it from IKEA and John Lewis, you could rent it. The challenge with all of this is around ethical issues. And here with Airbnb, I think people will be aware of the kind of difficulties that some of these models, and sharing ones in particular, could have with, in terms of declaring taxes, about staff, treatment of staff. And I think when it comes to motor vehicle transport, Chris and I have thought about what we do with our car. And it's a few years old, but we have thought that rather than buy an electric car, for example, we're going to keep this car that we've currently got in service as long as we can, until it gets uneconomic, because to buy an electric vehicle, the carbon embedded within a new vehicle like that is absolutely immense. And when we've come to the end of the current car, the petrol car we've got, we'll be thinking about how we can use a rental model or a car sharing model, where we can rent it as we need it, because most cars sit on a driveway for probably 90% of the time without going very far. So we've got an unused resource, which is not being used. The research that is now being done linking the circular economy to climate mitigation is increasing. So the one in the middle, the material economics one, which also informed the one on the right, was highlighting particularly the benefits of going circular and circular economy actions on the decarbonisation of the European economy. And it points to the following sectors as having the highest greenhouse gas abatement potential: materials, notably plastics, but also metals and cement; food, the loss of food, improved packaging, reducing loss, improved packaging, nutrient recycling; in construction sector, substituting materials, designing in a modular way; the waste management; and automotive, as I've said, car sharing and durability, improved end of life. So the research that is being taken, with the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, have been doing a fair bit of research on this. And their paper demonstrates that applying circular economy strategies in just five key areas, cement, aluminium, steel, plastics, and food, can eliminate almost half of the remaining emissions from the production of goods, which will be 9.3 billion tons of CO2 equivalent by 2050. And that would be equivalent to cutting current emissions from all transport to zero. So the research, whilst it's early days, is pointing towards that. And in fact, the European Union in 2015 developed a circular economy action plan. So they have been working on this, and I'm involved in some of those activities, particularly in Africa, of how the EU circular economy action plan can be implemented. And the focus originally was on extended producer responsibility, so making the producer pay for the cost of dealing with the waste at the end, and also setting recycling targets. A lot of these things do take time to put into place, but we are seeing change amongst member states, in particularly the Netherlands, who are planning to be a circular country by 2050, and Amsterdam to be a circular city by 2050. And the UK Climate Change Committee report, the latest one, of the key priorities, the last one included moving towards a circular economy. And we have recently seen, in November last year, the Prime Minister's announcement about the 10-point Green Plan. Circular economy wasn't mentioned there specifically, but a lot of the 10 points involve some circular thinking. So what could we do? How do we do it? Now, there are lots of things that we can use, and I'm not going to go through these in particular, but one which struck me was something that I come across in South Africa, which was AB InBev, one of the largest brewer in the world. They're developing a product from the output from the brewing process. So the waste that comes out of brewing, they're developing a product to fight malnourishment for people in South Africa who struggle with nutrition. So I think there's the use of waste into products which can help improve well-being are being seen more and more through circular economy. And bread, actually, you see at the bottom there, in London a few years ago, a couple of guys set up something called Toast Ale, which makes beer from bread waste. They buy a lot of their surplus waste, bread waste, from supermarkets or people who make sandwiches. So often crusts are not used. I just wanted to give you an example of the challenge that we're faced with the circular economy, because there's two elements of it. There's one element called the closed loop, where a business uses its own waste to take back into its operations a resource. And Starbucks is an example of that. The alternative is an open loop, which would give the waste to another business to use as a material input. And in this case here, this came out of Japan a few years ago, where they take the so trucks bring the milk into the shop, and they can take back waste and the waste could be the coffee grounds, which then go into a recycling facility to make cattle feed. The cattle feed then feeds the cattle to make the milk. Anything left over would be composted, but the milk could will go back into the stores with the milk in the delivery. So there is a closed loop going on, which is an ideal scenario, but difficult to achieve in practice. That's why the open loop is more likely. Now in Sussex, there are a few examples of these. Let me only pick a couple of them. Oopa Loopa is a model of renting baby clothes. So when you need clothes for your baby, you could rent them from Super Looper. And when your baby grows, you can send those clothes back and then have a new set as your baby grows. So there's a lot of activities that have happened in the past. Sea Lanes is a reusable swimming pool that they're discussing to build out on the seafront in Brighton. And Ruby Moon makes gym and swimwear out of recycled fishing nets. And finally, on the bottom right here, Charlotte's Cupboard was a motorized, a mobile shop, an electric vehicle, which sold products plastic-free. And part of the challenge with the circular economy is how you make the business model work. And unfortunately, they couldn't get it to work currently in Charlotte's Cupboard. So that isn't currently operating. And I think issues around cash flow and about how, if you're renting rather than selling, how that might work in practice. So how does one get involved in the circular economy? Well, there's lots of different ways you can do it. First one is lobby your MP. We've been talking to Mims Davis over the last year, and she's very receptive to environmental matters. Repair Cafe, you already, some of you will be very involved in the Horsham Repair Cafe. You can get involved by reading about it and sharing ideas with other people. Some years ago, walkers had a bit of a problem, and so they couldn't actually recycle their packets. Fortunately, TerraCycle are doing that now, but there was a campaign to put your spare, your excess crisp packets in the post for them. So they changed their model as a result. Too Good To Go is the is one of the, like Olio, using apps on your mobile phone to find out where food can be bought, which would otherwise have gone to waste. And this final example is in South Africa. This is building bricks, which have been made out of, designed by some South African students, bricks made from urine, sand and enzymes at room temperature without actually involving any significant carbon process. So you can become an entrepreneur, a circular entrepreneur, should you wish. In other European countries, they're doing things in quite a different scale. So in Sweden, this is a shopping mall, which is focused on recycling, called Retuna. And they do a lot more. It's as much a community activity. And I think that's where, with our climate cafes, where we would want to go to create community action, both individual in groups, members of climate groups, but also as in schools, faith groups, all sorts of other local community groups to get together to do these things. And we are now from the Netherlands, by a not-for-profit called Circle Economy is producing reports on how circular we are. And I think the latest figures were about 9%, which is actually slightly is on the decrease. I think it was 9.1%, and in 2020 it went to 8.6%. So we're now measuring how circular we are in the world, and we've still got quite some way to go. I, as I mentioned before, have become more involved in circular economy in Africa. And I co-founded a network called the African Circular Economy Network, which highlights the case studies which come out of Africa. People will not know about these. Very often we hear great examples out of Europe and the global north, but we don't know what's actually going on in South in Africa. So that's what we're doing, is highlighting those examples. And examples of these, here we're talking about recycling tyres. Sadly, there were ethical issues about this, but I think they're back on track. This here in Rwanda, and that was South Africa, in Rwanda, they've got a recycling facility for technology, mobile phones and televisions. And this picture here is of, I hope you can see my mouse, some guys repairing lorries in Ghana many years ago, because they had the material, they'd got hold of these trucks, but they couldn't find the replacement parts. So they've used parts from machinery, from existing ones that can't be used. Solar panels and community solar is a popular thing. And of course, in the developing world, there's a lot of electronic waste and other waste, which is causing hazards. So that's why we need the circular economy to tackle some of these problems. And just one final example is about how taking organic waste in Kenya can be then composted and made into pellets, which end up being in fertilizer and soil conditioner. So coming towards the end, just a brief mention of the donut economy, which some of you will have already heard of. So Kate Raworth developed this idea, which is a visual framework shaped like a donut or life belt to help us think about sustainable development. So the outside are the planetary boundaries that we can't be exceeding, and that's where we work in climate change. But within the inner part of the donut is the social foundation that we cannot go beneath, because we need people to be healthy, fed, watered, have education, and be resilient to maintain those. So we need to operate in this safe space for humanity. And the SDGs are now linked to this donut economy and how this will, focusing on this approach. And just finally, just a brief mention that very often the technical side of the circular economy is featured, both on the biosphere, as we talked about in the butterfly diagram the Ellen MacArthur Foundation produced, but the human sphere, the people involved in that, are far less considered. At the moment, our tax system taxes people, taxes our labour, but actually it's a resource which is actually plentiful. We should be taxing much further the extraction of raw materials out of the ground and not taxing our labour. And as we mentioned, as Maureen mentioned in her blog, the Gazrupta report, where GDP is now being recognised by the Treasury in the UK as not being a good measure of human well-being. So we need to start thinking about how we can bring people more into the equation with the circular economy. And that is, and this is me. If you want to read more, this is Catherine's book, I would recommend. So links there. Catherine has just done a podcast with me talking about the coaching work that I do in the circular economy, and also some more mention of the African Circular Economy Network. And that is it.